We invite the children to come forward for their time at the prayer space here. See if they can find something that I'm going to say in the sermon which can be illustrated in magic markers. Our scripture for the lesson for this morning comes from the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, beginning with verse 4. Pray with me that God may enlighten our hearts as we hear God's word. Let us pray. O God, prepare our hearts to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but yours, that hearing we may obey your will for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The word finally seems like the perfect word with which to begin the text of my last sermon here in this pulpit. Paul has written this letter to his brothers and sisters in the church in Philippi. He's covered a variety of subjects, and now he is reaching the end of what he's going to say. And so he summarizes all that he has said with this wonderful sentence. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Now, the traditional design of a Presbyterian sermon, taught in seminary in every introduction to preaching class, says that a preacher should choose a text for the day and then study it and pray about it, and then write a sermon which consists of 3 points and a poem. Well, I figure today is the time to stick to basics. I am glad that through the years here at Wildwood Church, I have participated in preaching which involved marching bands and cheerleaders. I'm glad that I have brought to this pulpit the music of Alison Krauss and the Gaither Vocal Band, but today it's 3 points and a poem about Philippians chapter 4. So here's point one. When I read this text carefully, it occurred to me that it might be easy to miss the significance of the word whatever. It's repeated over and over again, but if you're like me, your mind immediately went to those to the list of things which Paul says we should focus our minds on. Paul says we should think about things that are true and honorable and pure and commendable. But what do we find if we focus our minds on the word whatever? Well, whatever in this case means everything that is, or all that is. Whatever expands the range of the commendable and praiseworthy things that we should think about to include everything that deserves the title of true and pure and commendable and worthy of praise. And if we expand these things that far, we will almost certainly include some things which are not in our comfort zone or or which would not be our preference. My first parish in Latrobe, Pennsylvania, had a full-time minister of music who played our wonderful pipe organ and directed all the choirs. Dan was a good friend of mine, and we were good co-workers. I appreciated his significant musical gifts, but occasionally Dan would play very, very modern organ music for his prelude or his postlude. When he did that, I found myself having the impulse to run up to the choir loft and make sure that he was okay, because it sounded like someone was having a seizure at the organ keyboard. Now, I like traditional organ music, but it was a challenge to find what was commendable, what was worthy of praise in those pieces of music that he would play, which to my ears just sounded simply weird and incomprehensible, nothing at all lovely or uplifting. Now, I knew that I should not doubt Dan's musical judgment. I knew that he was playing correctly the notes that the composer had written on the page. Dan was a good person. I knew that he was a profound Christian. The problem was not that the music was somehow wrong. The problem was my inability to understand and appreciate it. I'm sure of that. It was sort of like the first time that you offer a child coffee. Kids will universally say, "Yuck, that's nasty." And then many of those children will grow up into adults for whom a good cup of coffee becomes one of the highlights of the day. Some excellent things, some commendable and true things, which are included in the word whatever, do challenge us and require us to talk ourselves into giving those things a chance before we can understand and appreciate them. On the day that Pastor Eric preached his first sermon in this pulpit, with lightning and thunder and flickering lights and a microphone that didn't work, we all recognized many things in him that were commendable and excellent and pleasing. You elected him to be the pastor of this congregation. But it is guaranteed that he will have some ideas and some ways of pastoring that will be outside your comfort zone and which will seem new and unfamiliar. Things which will challenge you to give it a real chance and to grow in your ability to understand and to appreciate him and his ministry in the future. So Paul instructs you to accept the challenge of focusing your thinking on whatever is honorable, everything that is commendable, all that is pure and excellent, including those things that are hard for your ears to hear, or that taste strange, or take some getting used to. Point number two. Paul instructs the Philippians and you and me to think about this wonderful list of good things. And the obvious extension of this teaching is that we should avoid thinking about things that are bad. We do have a choice, in fact, about how we focus our thoughts. Now, why should we do that? Why should we avoid thinking about bad things? Well, if we do focus our minds on things in the world around us that are dishonorable and impure and unworthy and false, we will naturally find ourselves blaming other people for those displeasing realities. Why do all these bad things happen? We're not talking about natural disasters here. It's people. People make bad choices. People act out of selfish and uncaring motives. People lose control. People believe that aggression and violence will get them something they should have. And of course, I'm talking about other people, not about me. It's their problem. So thinking about things that are impure and dishonorable, things that no one would praise, will take us into a judgmental, negative place. We will start pondering ways to get even with those people for what they're doing. We'll be afraid and we'll spend our energy trying to find ways to defend ourselves against the threats that these people pose. We may get angry and we may conclude that certain groups of people are responsible for more than their share of the trouble in the world. And that will lead us to prejudice and hostility. Just turn on your TV news, any channel, any hour of the day. You'll find your mind being filled with pictures of frightening, awful things. You will hear people saying things that are judgmental and negative. Even shows that are, quote, entertainment, revolve around plots of the good people using their valuable time and energy and skill to respond to what the bad guys have done. When was the last time you turned off the TV and said to yourself, that program made me think about things in the world that are honorable and pure? That program showed me situations that are just and pleasing. Hey, that program connected me with people whose behavior is excellent and worthy of praise. When was the last time you saw that Philippians 4 view of the world on a flickering screen? But if we follow Paul's instruction and think about good things, we will naturally be drawn to reflect on our own lives and discover our own personal to-do lists there among those good things, as individuals and as disciples of Jesus. If we could somehow or other tune in to a Philippians 4 channel on our television, we would there find stories of people doing praiseworthy things, and we would want to do those same kinds of things ourselves. Or our minds would be filled with pictures of things that are beautiful and excellent. We would seek ways to surround ourselves and fill our lives with those things. And is there anything more true and commendable and worthy of praise than the amazing and powerful teachings of Jesus? So if we are focusing our minds on all that is good, we will be drawn to open our Bibles and to sit at the feet of Jesus to hear and to learn of his wonderful words. And then point number three. When we turn our minds to the elements of our lives that are true and are honorable, pure and excellent, if we notice those things that we experience, we will go without effort into a state of gratitude. That's the place where I want to end this sermon. I am so grateful. It has been such a rich blessing to be a part of this church family and to grow in faith with you as we have sought to be faithful disciples of Jesus together. It's hard for me to express the gratitude that I feel for these 21 years in which my family and I have called this our church home. Because this congregation has been filled with ministries and moments that were excellent and commendable and worthy of praise. I am glad to say that I had a part in creating some of these ministries and moments, but none of my efforts would have borne good fruit without your support, without your participation. We have done this together. And now as I leave, it is my hope, and it will be my continuing prayer, that you will continue on, you will carry on with being the glad and faithful people of God here in this place. I encourage you to welcome Pastor Eric and his family with all the warmth and generosity that you showed to Greg and Kathy and me and Ann and our families. I shared an office with Pastor Jill, and so I know how caring and competent and funny she is. I want to encourage you to support her in her continuing ministry in the months and years ahead. And Pastor Bill knows how much I appreciate his ministry among us as our interim pastor. You will have a chance to tell him how much you appreciate his ministry next Sunday. I've worked with quite a number of Christian educators and church secretaries, And so I say with authority that working with Kathy and Nancy and Barb has been a wonderful gift. Now, this sermon will get way too long if I start naming everyone who has touched my life in a special way here at Wildwood Presbyterian Church. You know who you are, and I hope that you know how deeply grateful I am for what you have done that has enriched my life. Look around you, and you see sitting near you the faces of all these people who have come here this morning to worship God with you and with me, all together in this lovely room. If you do that, with your mind focusing on all that is true and honorable and just and pure, if you experience this place and this congregation with focus on things that are excellent and things that are worthy of praise, you will find yourself sharing with me that deep gratitude for the gift of this day, the gift of this hour. We will all together be grateful for the way that Jesus has spoken each one of our names as he has called us to be his disciples in this place and time. I promised you a poem to conclude. There is a hymn in our hymn book that you may not know if you are not a fan of the Gaither Vocal Band. If you're a fan, you know it. But its words just seem a perfect conclusion to this sermon and to my ministry among you. I asked Sandy to have the choir sing this hymn as their response to the benediction today. I'm grateful to the choir for doing that. But listen with me to the words of this hymn. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, alleluia. Amen.
Greg, don't go anywhere. We have something for you all. Anne, come on up.